Not one of those preachers say, touch five people and give them a high five, but you might want to look at the person next to you and say, the Lord is with you. And then you might want to say, the Lord is with me. You may be seated. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with you. If I would give this a subtitle, I mean, the title is The Lord is with you, but the subtitle could be making the best out of a bad situation, making the best out of a bad situation, lesson from a godly man, making the best out of a bad situation, lessons from a godly man. Father, I pray that indeed may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, dear Lord. Take this word and penetrate our hearts and minds, dear God, that we might all leave here today being changed, being different. We thank you for being with us, dear God. You are indeed Emmanuel, God with us. You've told us you would never leave us nor forsake us. So we thank you for that confidence that we can have that you are indeed our God and you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is with you. Let me give you a quick synopsis of Joseph's life leading up to now. For some of you, some of my Bible readers, this would be kind of a review, but for some of you, it might be new information. Joseph, his daddy was Jacob. You know, we had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. And so Jacob had many sons and some daughters, but we're mainly kind of focusing on the sons right now. And Joseph was young. He was a teenager, and God would give him these dreams. And so Joseph, being kind of young and just youthfulness, but maybe even a little bit of pride, maybe a little bit of arrogance, perhaps, he would go tell his brothers and he would describe the dreams to them. And his brothers said things like, do you mean we're going to bow down to you? Now, Joseph was one of the younger brothers. And so typically the older or the oldest brother is the one that kind of was, you know, they run things amongst the brothers. But Joseph said, now y'all going to bow down to me. And then he had another dream, and it wasn't just his brothers that he saw bowing down to him through the interpretation of what he was dreaming, even his parents. And so Joseph, once again, being kind of a youth, he probably should not have been sharing that with his brothers, but he was. And the Bible said, read in Genesis 37:30, the Bible said his brothers hated him all the more. So much so that one day his brothers were out in the field doing, taking care of the livestock and stuff. And Jacob sent Joseph, said, go out and see how your brothers are doing. And so Joseph went out to check on his brothers, and they saw him coming. And he said, look, here comes that dreamer, talking about Joseph, their brother. And so basically they said, hey, let's kill him. So they were going to literally kill their brother. But one of the brothers, Reuben, spoke up and said, no, let's not kill him. Let's not kill him. So they get Joseph and put him down in a pit. They said, we're not going to kill him, but let's maybe sell him into slavery. And so that's what they did. This band of people called the Ishmaelites came by, and they sold their brother into slavery. And the Ishmaelites, if we pick up the text this morning, bring him to Egypt. And what the brothers did, they killed a goat and took the blood of the goat and took Joseph. He had a coat of many colors that his dad made him. His dad favored him. He really should not have been doing that. That's a whole another lesson for parenting. But they took the coat of many colors and dipped it in that blood and took it back to the dad and basically said, hey, a wild animal has killed your son, our brother. So they lied. So here is Joseph. That's where we pick it up this morning. He's down in Egypt. Now, Joseph was a young man, but he was a righteous man, a godly man, but he still was going through some trials and tribulations. Verse 2 of Genesis 39 says this, even though Joseph had been put in a pit, sold into slavery, taken down by the time into Egypt, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. Somebody missed that. Joseph had gotten thrown into a pit, got sold into slavery in a foreign land called Egypt. But the Bible said the Lord was with Joseph. See, saints, just because we go through stuff, just because life is not all perfect, that does not mean, if you're a Christian, that does not mean the Lord is not with you. Matter of fact, as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is always inside of us. As a child of God, God is always with you, in spite of what we might be going through. Somebody might be saying, well, I got laid off on my job. Well, the Lord is still with you. Somebody might be saying, well, I got a bad medical report. Well, the Lord is still with you. Somebody might be saying, people on my job, they digging ditches for me. They're trying to get me. They're not treating me right. Well, the Lord is still with you. I mean, whatever the child of God is going through, God is still with you. God is still with us. So in spite of Joseph being in the pit, in spite of Joseph getting sold into slavery, the Bible says, we believe the Bible, right? The Bible says the Lord was still with Joseph. Even in the midst of this suffering, even in the midst of trials and tribulations. Let me read verses 3-6 real quickly, and then I'll kind of expound on those. And so, Joseph was in Potiphar's house, verse 3, and his master Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight and served Potiphar. Then he made him an overseer of his house. Potiphar made Joseph an overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he had. You're going to keep seeing this phrase. It's going to keep reappearing. Look, phrases like this. That the Lord blessed. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not, Potiphar, he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Potiphar said, I don't even know what all I have in him. I don't even know how many livestock I have. I don't even know how my garden and stuff doing. I don't know how kind of produce I have. I don't even know how many servants I have. And I'm leaving all that in Joseph's hand. All I care about is what I'm going to eat and when I'm going to eat. That's all I had to worry about. So God showed Joseph favor. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Even in the midst, once again, being put in a pit now in Potiphar's house in slavery as a servant, Joseph was successful. Verses 3-4. Joseph was successful. Also, this is something to think about. This is something to think about. When you have the favor of God upon you, even pagans notice. Even the unsaved, Deacon Dan, even the unsaved notice, even pagans notice. When you have the favor of God on you, even the pagans, like a Potiphar, notice. Also, don't miss this. It was God. It was the Lord who made Joseph to prosper. It was the Lord who made Joseph to prosper. It was the Lord who made Joseph to prosper. I know what some of you are saying. You said, Pastor, it was my college degree. It was my education I got. It was those connections I had. You know, it was because I was a great interviewer. You know, it was those contacts I had. It was my intellect. No. Those things help. But don't get it twisted. It was God who made you or me to prosper. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. It wasn't you or me. It was the Lord who made us to prosper. Let me share this real quickly. I've shared it. It's been a while since I shared this, but just letting you know how it's the Lord who opens up doors and closes doors. I was in college and back in 1987, and I was at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, and I was about to graduate, and I had been interviewing and you know, kept getting those Dear John letters like, hey, you know, the interview went well, and your resume looks pretty good, your grades look pretty good, but we don't have any openings right now. So I'm coming down about to graduate, and I had a job at a bank in the computer department, but it wasn't the type of job I really wanted. And so I said, Lord, you know, I've gone to school and I really should have been praying, Brother Rodden. I really should have been praying, God save my soul. Cause I wasn't saved at the time. I grew up in a Christian home and all that, but I wasn't a Christian then. So I should have been saying, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner in need of a savior. I confess my sins to you and I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and savior. But no, I didn't pray that. You know how we bargain with God. And I said, God, if you give me a job, I'm going to start serving you. That's what I said. I said, God, if you give me a job, I'm going to start serving you. So lo and behold, about 2 weeks later, I was on campus at University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, and I was working in the computer room, and this guy came by, a friend of mine. He said, Gerald, you're not interviewing. I'm just talking about how the Lord helps you to prosper. The Lord opens up doors and closing doors. He said, Gerald, you're not interviewing today? I said, who's here to interview? I didn't know who was interviewing. I signed up for next week. IBM and AT&T and some other companies were coming that next week. But that Friday, I hadn't signed up to interview. And he said, TVA is here interviewing today. And I'm like, who is TVA? What is that? So I said, well, let me rush over here and see if I can interview. So I rushed over to the placement office. And the guy who was over the placement office, he said, well, Gerald, you didn't sign up. He said, but I tell you what, the guy from TVA that's interviewing, when he finished interviewing this particular person, you could ask him if you can interview today. It was right at 12 o'clock. I should never forget it. And so I waited, and the guy came out of his interview. I said, sir, can I interview with you today? And he looked at his schedule. He said, my schedule is filled up. He said, but I'll tell you what. It's 12 o'clock. I was going to take a 1 hour lunch. I'll take my lunch break to 12:30 and come back at 12:30 and I'll interview you. So I came back at 12:30 and check this out. I was breaking, Sister Candace, I was breaking every rule of the interview process. I wasn't dressed appropriately. didn't know nothing, excuse the double negative, but didn't know nothing about the company. I mean, broke every rule of the interviewing thing. I guess God said, I got to make it real clear to this boy, it's me that's going to give him his job. And so I go into the interview, and the interview went well. But I didn't get too excited, because that happened before. I go back home, about a week or two passed by, and I get a letter from TVA. And I didn't get overly excited, because I said, I've gotten these letters before. But I open up the letter, and lo and behold, they said, we like how the interview went, Sister Howard. And he said, we want to fly you to Chattanooga and interview you some more. So he flew me to Chattanooga. I interviewed about three more times. And Brother Sidney, as they say, you know the rest of the story. TVA offered me a job. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm just saying it wasn't, once again, it wasn't my intellect. It wasn't my great interviewing skills. It wasn't the way I was dressed. It wasn't my preparation. It was God who opened up the door for a job at TVA. He said, son, I got to get you over here in TVA. I'm going to let you meet somebody named Tanya Howard. You going to get married? Next month on the 23rd will be 25 years for Tanya and I, by the way. On the 21st, I'm sorry, on the 21st. Brothers and sisters, I'm about to get in the doghouse. But it's God who worked all it out. God is the one who maneuvers and makes those moves. It's God. It's God. And so Joseph, same thing with Joseph, even though he was thrown into the pit, even though he was a servant, he was a slave in Potiphar's eyes, God is the one who's allowing him to prosper. But also, let me say this to kind of balance it. Joseph had a great work ethic. It wasn't like Joseph just laying back in the house and said, God gonna prosper me. Now, Joseph had a good work ethic. He was diligent on his job. You know, if you work diligently on your job and you're serving the Lord, God will show you some favor on your job. I mean, any decent company, when they see a good worker, a diligent worker, they're gonna try to take care of him or her. And so Joseph, in a sense, got promoted. You know, some people say, well, I never get promoted. My boss is unfair. This company I work for, they're not right. Well, how's your work ethic? Are you diligent on your job? How's your work ethic? Listen to this, saints. All of us should have this Colossians 3:23-24. You might even want to put it on your desk or put it on your cubicle. Listen to what it says. It says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for a man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So even though when I got the TVA, when I finally got saved, I realized I first served the Lord and then TVA. It's the Lord whom you serve. And so it's the Lord. You might want to write this down. It's the Lord who blesses. It's God who blesses. And because of Joseph, Potiphar, the Egyptian Potiphar, whose name literally means the one who is placed on earth by Ra, you know, a false god. So Potiphar, who is a pagan, once again, he was blessed because of Joseph. You know, some of us in here, that's why you need to be careful who you run with, who you hang around. Sometimes you can hang around a person and you just get blessed because you're around a person who's serving and faithful to the Lord. All of us in here this morning, we're here, we come on the shoulders of other people. We're here because others have prayed for us. Maybe mama, maybe daddy, maybe big mama and big daddy, maybe your Sunday school teacher, maybe somebody at school that impacted you. We're here today because of others praying for us, others showing us the right way and not the wrong way. We're here because of what others have done. So Joseph, once again, was so thorough that his boss trusted him, brothers and sisters agree, trusted him with everything. Again, I'm saying again, the brother, he didn't know what he had. He said, the only thing I'm worried about is what I'm going to eat. Joseph got all that stuff. He's taking care of everything else. You know, sometimes demotion can lead to promotion. Let's say it again. Sometimes demotion can lead to promotion. Joseph was demoted. He was put in a pit. He was a slave, but then it eventually led to promotion. So everything's going pretty well for Joseph. You know, things are going well. I mean, he's running Potiphar's house. He's a head servant. He's in control of everything. He's the lead guy in the house. Everything's going well. And the Bible even said, the latter part of verse 6 says that he was handsome in appearance. He was handsome. He was a good looking man. The Bible said Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. He was a good looking man. Joseph was fine. He's what I call the triple threat. He loved the Lord. He was a hard worker and he was good looking. That's a good combination right there. All the single ladies say, yeah. I mean, he loved the Lord. He's hardworking. He's good looking. A young lady, I often talk about the two J's. I mean, Joseph, he knew Jesus and he had a job. You know, Joseph was kind of like, I'm going to go back now. He's kind of like the Billy Dee Williams of his day. That's from a little slight older crowd. For my generation, he was a Denzel Washington of the day. Now, I asked Ariana about this, so if you don't agree with this, you have to talk to her after church. He was a Michael B. Jordan of the day. That's a younger crowd. That's a younger crowd. Somebody said he did right. But Joseph he was a handsome guy. So let me recap real quickly. Joseph was successful. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Joseph had the favor of God upon him. And even Potiphar prospered because of God's favor on Joseph. It was the Lord who made Joseph to prosper. Joseph had a great work ethic, and it was the Lord who blessed Joseph. And remember, sometimes demotion leads to promotion. So the Lord is with Joseph. He's making the best out of a bad situation. These are lessons from a godly man. So things are going well, right? Things are going well, right? Somebody say, but. Just like with Job the last 2 weeks, things are going well. But here comes temptation. Things are going well, but here comes the old devil. You know, when things are going pretty smooth, that's when you need to pray harder. When things are going well, everything is going well in your family, things going well on you, that's when you really need to probably pray harder. Things are going well, but look at the next verse. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass after these things, after all this stuff, Joseph got it going on. He's running the house. Potiphar trusts him. That Potiphar's wife, Miss Potiphar, cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. In other words, she said, come have sex with me. She cast longing eyes on Joseph, the Bible says, lustful eyes. That's why, brothers and sisters, you had to guard your eyes. Job, I know we just finished with Job, but there's a verse in the book of Job where it said, Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. So she was looking lustfully at Joseph. I told you, Joseph was fine. Joseph was a handsome man. You know, the Bible says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it will mess you up every time. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life will mess you up every time. And so she wanted Joseph. She, you know, day after day, she kept coming toward Joseph. And let's look and see how Joseph, this godly man, this holy man, who's away from home, who's still a young brother, you know, late teens, early 20s during this time, how did he respond to this attractive lady who kept coming on to him? Verse 8 says, but he refused. Somebody say he refused. Young Stephen, it's a good thing to refuse things that are displeasing to God. He refused. He refused. Joseph refused and said to his master's wife, said to Miss Potiphar, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. In other words, he let me control everything. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. That's not being boasting or arrogant. He's just stating the facts. There's no one greater in this house than me. Nor has he kept anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Listen to this, saints. How then, Joseph said, can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar? Y'all in the Bible? Yeah. Be like the Bereans. Now look at the text. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, our perspective on sin is all messed up. When you or I sin, we first and foremost sin against God. Let me repeat that. When you and I sin, we first and foremost sin against a holy God. David said it this way in Psalms 51, after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, after he had, Sister Jean had her husband Uriah killed. Listen to what Joseph, listen to what David said. Now you would think David said, I sinned against Bathsheba, I sinned against Uriah, but look at what David said in Psalms 51:4. He said, God, against you and you alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. See, we gotta remember, first and foremost, when you sin, when I sin, we sin first and foremost against God. And so verse 10, basically, she keeps on trying. She keeps on trying. The Bible says day after day, she keeps on trying. And he did not heed her. Now listen, Joseph wasn't in Potiphar's house just for a few days or a few weeks, or it probably was some years, because when you go from when he was sold into slavery, which was around, he was a teenager, to when he actually got out of prison later on, getting a little ahead of myself, he was about 30. So about 12 or 13 years had passed. And so he was probably in Potiphar's house for several years, not just 1 or 2 days or 1 or 2 months. So this went on persistently for a while. But Joseph being a holy man, Joseph being a man of integrity, Joseph being a man who was away from his family in a foreign land, he could have said, "Wow, okay, I'm just over here. I'm going to yield to temptation." No, he didn't. Somebody say he didn't. So he fled. He flees from sexual immorality. Even though she was persistent. Now listen, things that tempt you or people that tempt you, they're usually persistent. They don't just go away right away. But listen, God can and will give you the strength to overcome them, to resist it, to overcome that thing, whatever that thing is. You know, Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, he was tempted those three times. Each time Jesus said, "It is written, it is written." He put the word of God on the enemy, on the devil. That's a great teaching point for you and for me. Dr. Luke, though, says in Luke 4, he says the devil left until a more opportune time. In other words, that fellow he's going to come back and try to tempt Jesus some more. Same thing with you or me. You know, you overcome a certain temptation one time. Don't let your guard down and get too comfortable. Like, "Oh yeah, I've overcome that. I got that under control. I don't lie no more. I don't do this no more. I got that sexual sin under control." Whatever. You need to be careful and say, "Hey, because that thing may come back at any time. Or that person may come back at any time." But listen, 1 Corinthians 10:13. In the Bible readers in the house, you know this verse. This is a great encouraging verse for all of us. See, once again, as a Christian, we can't use, I said this last 2 weeks, we can't use that Geraldine Flip Wilson philosophy like, "Hey, the devil made me do it." No, the devil can't make you and me do nothing, do anything. The devil can't make us do anything. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, "No temptation." Somebody said, "No temptation." "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful." But God is faithful. But God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That you may be able to bear it. God will not allow you or me to come into a situation that we can't overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. Rewind, let me say that again. God will not allow you or me to come into a situation that we cannot overcome it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that one more time. God will not allow you or me to come into a tempting situation that we cannot overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we don't believe that, we don't believe the Bible. So God gives us a way out. Sometimes it's running, you got to flee. Now, Joseph, one thing Joseph did not do, he had a good strategy. He had a great strategy. He didn't sit there and say, "Okay, Miss Potiphar, let's pray about this thing." He didn't say, I know this is in Genesis, they didn't have a whole Bible, so let's just imagine they had the Bible. He didn't say, "Well, Miss Potiphar, let's have a Bible study." No, Joseph said, "I'm running, I'm gone." That's what he says right there in the Bible. Verse 11. But it happened about that time when Joseph went into the house to do his work. Remember, I told you, day after day, she was trying to lure him and tempt him. And none of the men of the house was inside. So they're in there all by themselves. Somebody said, "Uh-oh." She caught him by his garment, caught him by his jacket, basically, saying, "Lie with me or have sex with me." But he left his garment. He ran out of his jacket. He left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Sometimes the best thing to do is run. Sometimes the best thing to do is run. This is not just necessarily just sexual encounters. It could be the opposite of that. But it could be something like maybe there's somebody on your floor, somebody in your company just always, just for whatever reason, just make the anger come out of you. Well, you might need to dodge. You might need to go around their cubicle. You don't need to probably go down their aisle until the Lord gives you some strength to overcome that. Sometimes you just have to run. Sometimes you have to stay away from things. Whatever that thing is, whatever it is, whatever that person is, or whatever that thing is that tempts you, you need to run. You need to run. That's a good godly philosophy. You need to run. Joseph ran. Listen, First Corinthians 10 basically reminded us that as a child of God, once again, we make a choice to sin. You make a choice to sin. You got to have a strategy to overcome your temptations. You know what your temptations are. You got to get a strategy to overcome that thing or that person or whatever it is. Because listen, you have the Spirit of God in you, right? The Simon is the Lord is with you, right? You have the Spirit of God in you. You got the Son of God, the Jesus Christ, praying and interceding for you. You got the Word of God to encourage you, to warn you, to strengthen you. You have the people of God to come around and give you wise counsel, maybe a word of warning and a word of encouragement. You and I got all of that. So it's no reason that we should allow sin to enslave us. Let me give you the resource again. We got God on our side, right? We got the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We got the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit inside of us, right? We got the Word of God, the Bible with us, right? And we got the people of God. Oh, that's a lot of resources. That's a lot of ammunition. That's a lot of resources. As we use the resources that God has given us, we can live holy. We can't do the right thing. Don't throw this philosophy out of the window. Oh, he had to do that, or she had to do it. He's just a man. No, that stuff is unbiblical. That's the matter of fact. That stuff is from the pits of hell. We gotta stop saying crazy stuff like that. Giving people an out. Well, he's just human. Yeah, I am human. You are human, but I serve a superhuman God. I serve a holy God. So since I had a Holy Spirit in me, I'm a holy human. How's that? So Joseph ran. Joseph, look at his strategy. Let me give you a couple things to write down about his strategy against sin, Sister Bray, how you can overcome sin. Listen, Joseph recognized, even though he's down in Egypt, even though he's away from his parents, this is a good lesson for those of you who are going off to college, in college or back here for the summer. Even though you're away from home, you got to recognize, I still belong to God. Mom and daddy can't see me or can't look at, but God looks at you. Jesus looks at you. So Joseph recognized that he belonged to God. He recognized who owned him. He belonged to God. Also, he recognized sin as rebellion against God. So we got to view sin a little differently. He viewed sin as rebellion against a holy God. Also, he recognized sin's effect against others. So he recognized that he belonged to God. He recognized sin as rebellion against a holy God. He recognized sin's effect on others. You don't just sin in a cocoon, so it's just affecting me. No, sin is going to typically always impact or affect someone else. Another thing about Joseph, about how he was victorious over sin. All of us want to be victorious over sin, right? Let me say that one more time. All of us want to be victorious over sin, right? Y'all kind of weak. Y'all kind of weak out there this morning. So this is a good pattern. Recognize that you belong to God. Recognize that you know, when you sin against a holy God. And also recognize that sin impacts and affects others. Also, Joseph had the right concerns and he had the right strategy. He had the right concerns and he had the right strategy. See, sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Sin, let me say that one more time, more slowly. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay, and it will take you further than you want to go. Sin is kind of like that frog. Y'all have heard this illustration, this frog in the kettle. You know, you drop a frog down in a kettle, and kettle is, you know, nice water, cold water. The frog is just having a good time, Brother Greg, swimming around, just having a good time in that kettle that's on a stove, right? And you slowly start hearing the heat up, right? He's still just swimming around, having a good time. You slowly keep turning the heat up. Frog's still having a good time. You slowly keep turning the heat up, and eventually, guess what? You got a cooked frog. You can have frog legs if you like frog legs. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying sin is kind of like that. It eases in. It sneaks in. You might just tell that little white lie first, even though I don't know what that is. A little white lie first. And then that lie grows a little bit. And it grows. Next thing you know, you're lying all the time. Sin is tricky like that. James 1, 12 through 15. James 1, 12 through 15 says this. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, who endures temptation. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, here it is, let one no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one, you and me, each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. That's kind of the chronological order of that thing. Lust and sin, and then brings forth death. See, sin is such a terrible thing. Christ had to go to the cross to die for our sin. We just sang about it earlier. Christ went to Calvary's cross to die for our sin. Sin is a terrible thing. So in your battle and my battle against sin, you and I need to pray for one another. You need to perhaps find someone, this is just real practical teaching right here, find someone of the same sex, men with men and women with women, find somebody you can kind of be somewhat accountable to. So someone you all can encourage one another, pray for one another, someone that's going to encourage you, not necessarily condemn you, but encourage you. Galatians 6:1 even tells us when somebody falls in sin, when a brother falls in sin, those of you who are spiritual, go and restore such a one. So Joseph had a good plan against sin. Let's see what happens. I read it earlier. I'll just kind of recap it. Verses 13 through 18. She basically says, Joseph, when she talked to Potiphar and to the workers, Joseph came in and tried to basically, take advantage of me. Somebody said, she's just lying. She just lying. She was doing that, not Joseph. But here is Joseph. He does the right thing, and this is what gets us off track sometimes. He does the right thing. He didn't have sex with her. He said, no, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm not going to sin against God and sin against Potiphar, my master. So he runs, and she pulls his jacket off. And she does the right thing, but even she lies on him, and he goes to jail, goes to prison, listen, for doing the right thing. He goes to prison for doing the right thing. And I'm just staying right with the Bible. I don't want to eisegete, put something in the Bible that's not in there. And if you read that carefully, I don't see where, I'm sure Joseph got a little down, but I don't see where he was complaining. I don't hear where he should see where he was saying, God, how did you let this happen? I mean, I did the right thing. It's definitely not anything saying, well, I should have went on and did it. I should have went on and did it. If I got in trouble. No, none of that. Joseph said, I'm going to still serve God. I'm going to still serve Jesus. See what happens, saints, when we do the right thing, and it still goes, you know, goes sour on us. When we do the right thing, and things still don't get better. That's a great challenge for all of us. Do you continue to trust God? Do you continue to serve God? Do you continue to put your faith and trust in God? You and I should. No matter what's going on around us, I know it's easier said than done, but no matter what's going on around you, you got to remember the Lord is still with you. The Lord is still with me. Sometimes the circumstances don't necessarily dictate if God is with you or not. See, if Joseph just looked at the circumstances, he said, wait a minute, I got thrown in a pit. I got sold into slavery. I'm in Potiphar's house. And then I got thrown into prison. Surely God has abandoned me. Surely God is not with me. But no, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Even though he was falsely accused. Because this series is talking about when we go through suffering or persecution for righteousness' sake. He was falsely accused, but Joseph held on to his faith. He held on to his integrity. He held on to his God. And more importantly, his God, our God, held on to him. Even in the midst of these trials, because again, God knows what we can handle. He knows what we can handle. He knew what Job can handle. He knew what Joseph can handle. He knows what you can handle. He knows what I can handle. He knows what we can handle. Do I have a witness? He knows what we can handle. He knows what we can handle. So let's look what happens. Potiphar comes back home. Of course he's mad. Of course he's upset. His wife said, hey, this guy tried to rape me, basically. He tried to, you know, take advantage of me. So he's mad. So he takes Joseph, and he probably kind of hated to do it, but he said, man, now Joseph, now I got to, he threw him into prison. But watch this. He threw him into prison, and it's a place where the king's prisoners were confined. Some of your homework, by the way, I'm going to preach on Joseph again next week. So read chapter 40 and 41, chapter 40 and 41. So this is a very key verse right here. He threw him into prison where the rest of the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. So he's in prison. Again, let me just paint this again. He's been in a pit. God took him from the pit and put him in Potiphar's house. He's gone from Potiphar's house to prison. So all those P's. He's in a pit. He's in Potiphar's house. And he's in prison. And he's going to end up in another place that starts with a P. But that's next week. That's next week. Look what verse 21 says. I pray y'all really getting this. But the Lord was with Joseph. Even though he was in prison, the Lord was with him. Going back earlier in this chapter, even though he had been sold into slavery, the Lord was still with him. See, as a child of God, we can be confident on that. We can stand on that, the fact that God is always with us. The Lord is always with us. You just missed a great place to shout, right? God is always with us. I'm glad the one that's all powerful is always with me. I'm glad the one that's all knowing is always with me. I'm glad the one that's everywhere all at the same time is always with me. So in spite of the trials, in spite of AAA, in spite of how things look on the surface, I know God is still with me. He's going to be molding us. He's going to be pruning us. And sometimes we go through things because of discipline and our disobedience. But sometimes just because, like in Joseph's case, he's just trying to live holy, trying to live righteous, and he's still going through some stuff. Because see, we just see things. We see the short term things. But God knows what's going to happen next day or next week or next month or the next year. He knows. So again, going back to my example, he knew he needed to get me over here to Chattanooga once again to meet my wife. And then I got saved. Then he called me to preach. And then he's called me to pastor. He said, I want you to be in Chattanooga to do those things. See, God orchestrates my life and your life. Our steps have been ordered. That's in the Bible, right? It's not just a song. That's in the Bible. Our steps have been ordered. So Joseph, even though he was obedient, he still was in prison. Let me. You want to write this down. You need to write this down. Obedience to God does not always guarantee immediate blessings from God. Obedience to God does not always guarantee immediate blessings from God. I'm going to read that one more time because a lot of preaching and teaching that we hear says something exactly opposite. Just pray it and God gonna give it. Nab it and grab it. Name it and claim it. That stuff is not biblical. That's heresy. Obedience to God does not always guarantee immediate blessings from God. Let me kind of say it another way. We'll call it just to be faithful. Let me kind of say it another way. Obedience to God does not always result in some immediate tangible reward. Obedience to God does not always result in some immediate tangible reward. But prayerfully kind of console you with this. But obedience to God, but it will always eventually pay off. It may not cause some kind of immediate tangible reward, but it's going to always pay off, beloved. Always try to do the right thing. Always try to live holy. Always try to please God, and it will always eventually pay off. So just because it may not pay off tangibly today or tomorrow, you hang in there. Stay with the Lord. Stay on the right path. Don't get on that wide road that leads to destruction. Stay on the narrow path. Stay on the narrow path, as Minister Terman preached on a couple of months ago. Stay on that narrow path. Stay off the wide path. Even though sometimes like it's not paying off. Once again, Joseph, follow the text now. Joseph, he's been in a pit. He's been a servant in Potiphar's house. Now he's thrown into prison for basically a crime that he did not commit. But the Lord. I love when I'm reading through the Bible and things looking kind of bleak and kind of tough. And like, man, things are going wrong. Then you hear these two words, but God. But the Lord. But the Lord was with him. Even in prison, the Lord was with him. Even in the midst of your trials and tribulations, even in the midst of your suffering, your down and out, God is still with you. If you belong to Jesus, you always belong to Jesus. Yeah, our faith in the Lord, it's not conditional. Just because things are kind of rough in my life, I'm not wondering, well, do I belong to God? And I might be wondering, God, what do you need me to do? What adjustments do I need to make? What are you trying to show me? But not, do I still belong to you? No. We got that settled in John 10, 20 through 30, right? Right? When Jesus said, you in my hands. You in my hands. Nobody can pluck you out. Oh, also you in my Father's hands. Nobody can pluck you out. Oh, that's double security. That's double security. You in the hands of Jesus and you in the hands of God. You in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and you in the hands of God. I can make it if I'm in his hands. Because even when my hands get kind of weak and feeble, you in the hands of God, you can do how it will lead you on through that thing. So it's important to remember that, saints. When you and I go through things, you got to remember that as long as you're obeying God, as long as you're following Jesus, ultimately that pays off. So he's innocent. He ends up in prison. You know, God has a way of strategically moving you to where he needs you to be by whatever means he deems necessary. God has a way of moving you or me wherever he needs us to be by means he himself, whatever he deems necessary. Sometimes we don't like his methods. I remember one time, I guess I'm stuck on my TVA example today, Brother Chris. I was at TVA and I worked there for 16 and a half years as a computer programmer. And I don't know about other companies, but TVA, this is no exaggeration, TVA about every, Sister Tara probably remember, TVA about every 3 years, Brother Sidney, they're going to have a reorg. They're going to shuffle stuff around. I used to say, I think they're just trying to keep, you know, the workers who put up cubicles and all, I think they're just trying to keep them employed because every 3 years they move people around. I mean, I worked at twice in two different places down at the TVA company. I worked in the Edney building. I worked in the Chestnut Street Towers. I worked in Warehouse Row. I worked everywhere. And I remember one time talking about how God strategically moves us where he needs us to be. I was pretty comfortable in my present work group. I was, you know, had gotten used to everybody, got used to my manager, and everything was cool, you know. Then all of a sudden, here comes a reorg, a restructuring. And so God moves me to another group. And I'm a little less than 30 years old at that time. So I get to this other group, and I look around. And look, I'm in my 20s now, so I look around, and everybody in this group seemed real old. They were probably just in their 40s or 50s. That doesn't seem real old to me now, but back then it seemed real old, Sister Kathy, real old. I said, man, I'm in this group with all the old folks. That's what I was saying. And then none of them really looked like me. Y'all can work with that on the way home. Y'all can work with that on the way home. And then they were pretty much all ladies. Now I love ladies. I'm married to one. I got 3 daughters. But I'm like, wait a minute, I'm in this work group. I'm real young and they old. All of them are part of a different ethnic group. And they all are ladies. How do I fit into this group? Lord, I think you messed up this time. But beloved, hear me wrong. Hear me well. Of all my work groups, you know, before TVA and, you know, I've worked a lot of different jobs. That was the best work group I have ever been a part of. I know. That was the best work group. I mean, I've been gone from TVA since 03. And that group, they still get together once a year. I go every now and then. Once a year, around Christmas time, they still get together and have a little, we meet at Cracker Barrel or something. That was the best group I ever was. You know, but if it left up to me, I would have never gone to that group. I'm just saying God knows what he's doing. He moves you or me. We may not see it then. It may not look right then, but we just hang with God and be faithful. And you'll see, wow, that was for the best. So God, who has taken Joseph from the pit to Potiphar's house, now he's in prison. I would say that was a tumultuous trip. I would say that's like a jostling journey, not a joyful journey, but a jostling journey. But once again, Joseph still holds on to his God. I'm almost through. He still holds on to his God. He still holds on to his integrity. He still holds on to holiness. And most important, once again, God still holds on to him. Even though he's in prison, God is still there. The Lord is still with him. The Lord is still with him. Look at verse 21. It's right there in the text. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Somebody say mercy. Showed him mercy. You know, God's presence is awesome. God shows Joseph mercy. And guess what? He's showing us mercy. Oh, I'm going to say that again. I can't let you be that weak on that. He's showing us mercy. You know, mercy means God has not given us what we do deserve. None of us deserve to be here this morning. None of us deserve to be saved. But God shows us mercy. God being rich in mercy, Ephesians 2:4 says. God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he had toward us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. God is a merciful God. We were dead in our trespasses. We were on our way to hell and really glad about it. And God, being rich in mercy, intercepted us. And by his grace, we have been saved. God is a merciful God. God is a merciful God. Jeremiah said this way, y'all know it. Jeremiah said, every morning that I get up, I got some new mercies. I got new mercies. I use up my Saturday mercies, but I got up this morning, I had some Sunday morning mercies. If I live to this afternoon, I got some Sunday afternoon mercies. If I live to tonight, I got some Sunday night mercies. Great is thy faithfulness. God is a merciful God. I love those twins that God has with him. His grace and mercy. I love those twins, that tag team. The psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sometimes I hear some footsteps behind me and I get a little paranoid. I don't know what it is or who it is. And I look back. It's the mercy and grace of God that follows me, follows you all the days of our life. God's grace and mercy follow us. I mean, think about it, saints. He was watching over us even while we was out there acting a fool, Sister Ingram, and wasn't even thinking about him. So now for sure that I'm trying to follow him. I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to read my word. I'm trying to teach people right. God is going to be with me and with you. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. That's important, saints. When God led the people out of Egypt, Moses was a good leader. And you know, the Shekinah glory of God was following them, was leading them rather. And every now and then when the Shekinah glory, when the cloud or the pillar of fire would stop, they say, put the tabernacle down. Let's camp right here. And guess what? They would stay right there. They would stay right there until the Shekinah glory of God moved out again. Then, okay, Moses, okay, let's take up the tabernacle. Come on, let's follow God. That's a good plan. That's a good philosophy. Move when God moves. Follow the Lord. If the Lord say, be still, be still. If the Lord say, go forward, go forward. If the Lord say, go backwards, go backwards. If the Lord say, go to the side, go to the side. If the Lord say, go to the right side or left side, follow the Lord. Gideon, he knew that too. Gideon, he put out the fleece and, you know, he ended up putting it out twice. You know, he wanted to make sure that God was in this thing. That's a good thing. When you're getting ready to do something, child of God, make sure that God is in that thing. Make sure that Jesus has stepped off on it. So Joseph, even though he's been in a pit, even though he's was a servant, a slave in Potiphar's house, even though now he's in prison, once again, we're just trying to do the right thing. And now, it'd be different if Joseph was, just got way outside the will of God, just acting crazy and all that. But now Joseph, he's a righteous man. Not perfect, but he's a righteous man. A holy man. A young man in a foreign country. This lady coming at him every day. And he said, no, I can't sin against God. But he ended up in prison. See, we keep seeing the hand of God on Joseph. Verse 22 and 23. So, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. So once again, we've seen this before, right? Joseph is in charge again, just like in Potiphar's house. He's in prison, but he's in charge again. And he even said the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's thought. So Joseph, you got this. I'm not going to be looking over your shoulder. I'm not going to be wondering about what you're doing. You got this. Just do whatever you need to do. So he was under whatever under Joseph's thought. He said, you can take care of it. Because, listen, here it is again, saints. Because. Once again, it's not because Joseph was so great. Now, Joseph was striving to live holy. He was a man of integrity, yes. But it's right there in the text. All this was happening because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, because the Lord was with him, whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Reminds me kind of Joshua 1:8, where it talks about be strong in the Lord, meditate on the word of God, and it will make you prosper. Now, I'm not a prosperity preacher, so I'm not going to say you're going to always prosper in a big way materially, but I will tell you that God will and does take care of all of our needs. I said, he takes care of all of our needs. And watch this. Watch this. He sometimes throws in some of our wants and desires. Matter of fact, he said, delight yourself in him. Delight myself in the Lord. And he'll give me the desires of my heart. But if you're delighting yourself in him, your desires of your heart are going to be godly desires. Going to be desires that please him. And Lord said, yeah, just hang out with me. Abide with me and I with you. And I'll give you the desires of your heart. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. He said, my Father in heaven, he takes care of all those things. Look, he takes care of the birds. He's going to definitely take care of you. Mahalia Jackson would say that his eyes on the sparrow. So surely his eyes on you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And so as we prosper. He gives us his joy. He gives us his peace. He gives us contentment. He gives us a clear conscience. That's prospering to me. I said, that's prospering to me. If I can have a clear conscience, if I can have a good night's sleep, if I can have his peace and his joy, oh, I'm prosperous. My pocket can be infinite. My pocket is infinite. My pocket can be infinite. But if I got joy, I got peace, I got a clear conscience, I know that God is with me, I can make it. I can make it. I can make it. I can make it, saints. So Joseph, he was successful. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Joseph, he had a great work ethic. It was the Lord, once again, who made Joseph prosper. Remember, sometimes demotion can lead to promotion. Think about it. Your victory against sin. Joseph gives us a little sneak preview. He recognized that sin first was sin against God. He recognized that he belonged to God. And he recognized sin as rebellion against God. And Joseph, he had the right concerns and he had the right strategy. And Joseph knew. And Joseph knew, as I pray that you know this morning, I know this morning, that his God, my God, our Lord, he is with us. I said, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with, God is with you. Jesus Christ is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with me. I'm going to keep saying this a couple more times. I'm not trying to get you happy. I'm trying to make myself happy, I guess. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with you. When you leave out here today, if you are a child of God, if you're saved, you can say, the Lord is with me. In regards of what I'm going through, in regards of what things look like, God is with me. Jesus Christ is with me. He died for me. He was buried and he rose again and he's now in heaven praying for me and you. The Lord is with us. I said, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with this church, Love Fellowship. He's kept us for almost 20 years now. The Lord is with us. He's kept our marriages together. He's allowed our kids to get on up at a decent age. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with you. If the Lord is not with you, you need to get with him. Then you need to surrender your life to him. Because if you're born again, if you're saved, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with me. The Lord is on our side. And if God is on your side, no matter what you can come against, you can make it through that. I'm going to say that one more time. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with us. The Lord high and lifted up. He is with us. He is with us. He is with us. So again, don't let the circumstances confuse you. Sometimes the circumstances are not going to be good. Once again, that whole microwave Christianity, prosperity preaching has messed us up. We think if things are not going well and this and that, God must not be with me. No, if you belong to the Lord, he's always with you. He's always with you. His spirit goes before us. And Isaiah said he's also our rear guard. So that sounds like he's always with me right there. I mean, if he goes before me and he's my rear guard, he's always with me. He's always with me. Stand this morning. I'm through. Stand this morning. Now, I mentioned that the Lord is with you, but in a very real sense, if you haven't surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't said, which I should have been saying when I was in college, when I was praying about a job, I should have been saying, God, save my soul. So if you haven't surrendered to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if you haven't ensured the fact that you got a permanent relationship with him, today is the day of salvation. Come to the Lord just as you are. Don't wait until you get it straightened out, until you got it all fixed up. And no, come just as you are.